Dr. Gloria Morrow, licensed clinical psychologist in Upland, California. When I want to know the 411, I listen to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
You so good. I just love her. You see my face when you, you know. Oh, my God. I wonder how she's doing. I need to talk to her and get on my psychiatrist's couch. Anyway, hello, Nashville. All the lovely. Y'all are so lovely. You know, I'm just telling you because it's true, see? Somebody got to say it. Just lovely. No matter what state you're in, you're lovely. I said so. I did. It wouldn't be Wednesday if it wasn't raining.
That's right.
So, I mean, haven't you noticed the Wednesday rain pattern?
It keeps coming.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it just keeps coming.
It's just like every Wednesday, every month, it's like, oh, it's Wednesday, it's gonna rain. Are you sick of the rain yet?
Somewhat.
Because you know, Sunday, you say
somewhat.
It's dry. No, you said, oh, it's dry. I said, no, it is not dry. It's been raining like crazy. And then you say that, and then it starts.
Yeah, and it was gonna rain all week. That's what they said.
Well, so, yeah. I'm just saying, you said it was dry. It has not been dry.
Not dry enough.
Well, maybe, because I know over here, it seems like over here by this river and stuff, it rains all the time.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
But Sunday, or was it Monday when the storm came through that storm? That was pretty substantial. Every time the stuff comes through, you know, it seems like the winds blow harder now than they ever have here for some reason.
Global warming.
Well, I don't know if it's global warming or the way the city has changed, you know, with the structures and, you know, different things of that nature. I'll have to ask a handy-dandy meteorologist, our dear friend, senior meteorologist friend. You know him.
Yeah.
And he's our good buddy, and he's got the answers. So we'll check with him and see what he says. He might just be saying global warming. Yeah. Or he might be saying, well, blah, 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 usually this time of year, da, 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 blah, we usually get it, we need it. So we'll have to see. But all I know is that it seems like there's more times I have to bust that umbrella out than I normally
do. Unusual, yeah.
And have you also noticed how much the traffic is? We can tell 75% of y'all are back. Like, for real. There's just a lot more. And so, you know,
more people out there.
It just was. And I was thinking in my head, I said, okay, y'all been 60 days here with fewer cars and different traffic pattern. Now you're going to lose your mind because you had more time and space on the road. And now you're going to be, you know, not paying attention, bumping into somebody, going too fast, zipping. I can see it coming. Be impatient, ready to blow up. Y'all, come on, exhale now. You're about to get on the interstates and go home, so come on and blow. Before you jump in the ride. Anyway, so much. in store today and on the show. First and foremostly, before I roll into my usual blather, we have in April, you know, much of April, we weren't be able to be up here because of the coronavirus pandemic. And we were out of the station more than we were in. And we could not celebrate the station's birthday. You all thought I forgot, didn't you? No. WFSK turned 47, and we're having a belated birthday box because the station still needs the support. And we haven't reminded you, just started yesterday, reminding you that we need you to please, as you are making donations and supporting various nonprofits. We are nonprofit, and we play the best in smooth and contemporary jazz music 24/7. And this music has really been, according to the emails and different things I have been receiving, the people are feeling it, and they're glad to hear tunes and things that they really enjoy in the car or at home or at work or wherever they are, you know. So please consider making a tax-deductible donation to support our services. At our own website, you can go to WFSKFM.org, WFSKFM.org. You know, that's the there will we send you to listen online. And be sure to hit that donation bar. Our birthday bucks for 2020 are $47. That we ask that you donate at least, or just do whatever you can. Just show some love to your station, because we show some love to you all the time. And we just need you all to consider that as you are considering other things. We have received a few donations in April. And then, of course, our sustainers, their little gifts come, and we just thank their little selves for considering that little sliver that they send us every month adds up to a nice piece at the end. So it might seem small, you know, 10, 5, 10, 20, once a month or once every 2 weeks. But it does make a difference. It sustains our station so we can continue to do what we are doing and enjoying very much the ability to get that done. You know, I was just reading an article in email that someone has sent me about a station in Illinois at a university there that is going to have to shut down.
Oh, wow.
A jazz station there. The university had cuts.
Mm.
And they are tasked with having to, because they never had to raise before. Their funding situation is different than ours. That's why when I got here, I built something that we could at least stand on. Praise the Lord. So they would be further down, you know, because they're starting from zero and going up to six figures. Mm-hmm. They have to raise immediately to stay on. If not, they're toast.
Yeah.
That's, you know. So we're not advocating that or saying anything like that. But the importance of doing this is that we continue to be able to do operate to the best of our ability. Oh, and I trust and believe it's on a shoestring. I know how to shop and how to maneuver. So God is good. And you know, we have a lovely station and people love it and enjoy it and are proud of it. But we definitely need to hear from the listening audience and give us some love at WFSKFM.org. And for the mail check mailers, make the station payable to the station. And you want to mail to 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208. 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208. Now, so much in the news.
So much.
And the more these stories I hear, the more I am feeling like there's a target on each of our backs.
Yeah.
You know? And this week has been a lot. And then, you know, matter of fact, period. It's just been a lot, period.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing after another.
It has. It really, truly has. Coming up at 4:20 after the traffic, my guest is Dr. Tiffany Crutcher of Tulsa, Oklahoma. She'll be talking about the Black Wall Street Memorial that they are trying to put together in that city to honor those folks in the community, those business leaders, African-American, who were bombed, basically. They were and lynched during the 1921 race massacre. And we'll be hearing about that and some other things from her as well. She is scheduled to be on a, I just heard from the, I believe it was the ACLU today. Mm-hmm. And she is scheduled to be on their virtual forum on reparations for the Tulsa Race Massacre and Legacy of Slavery. And that event is coming up on Sunday the 31st. So when I talk to her, I will get the details on that as well. She's on the panel with Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Also, Brian Stevenson, the founder and director of the Equal Justice Initiative. And so that ought to be interesting at best. So we'll get the details on that and a bunch of other things coming up. Now, the mayor of Minneapolis called for charges to be filed against the white police officer who pressed his knee into the neck of a Black man during an arrest, even after the man stopped moving. Mayor Jacob Frey said today that Derek Chauvin should be criminally charged in connection with Monday's death of George Floyd. Chauvin and three other officers were fired Tuesday. Bystander video showed Floyd pleading that he could not breathe. Can't breathe. The man should know he can't breathe. His death prompted protests and police. They used tear gas and projectiles after some of the protesters began damaging a police station. Yes, he should be absolutely charged with that. Yeah. Absolutely. If they can't conjure up or create, or the justice system can't see that that man should be charged, then I don't know. There's nothing left in America.
Exactly.
You know, the Black folk ain't got a chance out here. You know, we have no chance. This is so serious. This stuff is so serious. And then we go from there to damsel in distress. I mean, you couldn't make this up. The Black man bird watching, okay? Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how common is that going to be? That he is as about as harmless. he's out there looking for birds. He's not interested in being a headline. He's just trying to do what he does. And the woman who, Christian, Miss Cooper,
She threatens him. She says what she's getting ready to do.
Well, she does the damsel in distress. This is what the white ladies did to Emmett Till.
I'm getting ready to call the police and tell them that a black man. Yeah. I mean.
Because that's the stuff that got Emmett Till killed. Mm-hmm. Is that stuff just like that.
He whistled at
me. And that's the stuff that has gotten black men lynched and beaten and killed in this country. That very thing that she acted out was what has so is that taught and trained behavior? Is that in the arsenal of white America to teach your daughter?
Yes.
Damsel in distress?
She said it as a threat.
Yes, she did.
Like, you know what?
I'm getting ready to send you to jail.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm getting ready to do. Yeah.
Don't you dare look at me. I'm a white woman. I mean, to me, that's what it sounded like. But the strangest and of all things about this particular thing, and you all saw it. We didn't make it up. This ain't no y'all lying. No, the man, he had to tape it. We have to come prepared to tape everything. No such a thing as not being prepared, you know.
It's a good thing he had a camera on.
I'm saying. You know, we might want to invest in more than just that kind of camera. Wear one around our neck and everywhere else, you know. But Christian Cooper, the gentleman whose video of a woman calling the police on him while he was bird watching went viral over the Memorial Day weekend, he acknowledged the woman's apology, but said her act was definitely racist. Oh, of course. And he thinks her apology is sincere. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, okay, every time somebody who is accused of being a racist, first thing they say is, I'm not a racist. But why is the first thing that you do when you encounter a person of color is a racist act? So I'm like, huh, that's confusing. And, but anyway, I just, you know, it just is not going to end. And just let us imagine for a second if the police would have come.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have shot him.
Yeah.
They'd have shot him.
Yep.
And you know, she'd have been just really, because she knew how to go. She flipped that switch,
She would have been in front of the cameras crying.
Yes.
I felt so. He just,
he
the
looked,
way
he,
the
no,
way
he looked
he,
at
yes,
me.
And I just knew.
I was like, this is way, way, way. And she was the person who should have had her dog on the leash in the first place, or the man wouldn't have had to say anything. And she was mangling and manhandling that dog like it was a pocketbook. I'm surprised the animal lovers didn't have a fit.
That was my thought.
About that.
Y'all not mad at me? She jerking that dog around by his neck?
No, they ain't said nothing. And, of course, you know how we feel about this. I mean, my. White community, where y'all at all this stuff? Where are you? Please stop it. It's enough. We've had enough. We've had to live our whole lives for hundreds of years. We've had enough. Enough. We've had enough. People have had enough. This is generational enoughness. Can't take no more. We've had enough. It's time. It's time. It's time. And then we got a pandemic that's taking us out disproportionately. And then we have racist activity and behavior going on all the time, everywhere, all over our nation. We've had enough. Hundreds of years. Ancestors. History. Enough is enough. And it's time. It's time. White America, it is time for y'all to make a change. And don't be talking about God. Go there, visit with him. He'll fix it. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's busy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. Wrapping up a crash in Midtown right now. 3100 block at Dudley Avenue. Traffic still looks good for the most part on 24 as you leave Nashville, headed out toward Murfreesboro, trying to get through that construction there up past Bell Road. We're dodging some rain showers out here again this afternoon. This traffic report is brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food, right behind the Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. The website is barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
WFSK recently turned 47 years old and didn't get a chance to celebrate like we normally do with our annual spring fun drive for Birthday Bucks. Those tax-deductible donations make all the difference in the world for the operation of WFSK 24/7 with the best in smooth and contemporary jazz. Please wish a happy belated birthday to Jazzy 88 WFSK, Nashville's jazz station, by making your donations right now online at WFSKFM.org. That's WFSKFM.org. Or by mail. Checks payable to WFSK, 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville 37208. We're Jazzy 88, serving Nashville since 1973. We're Jazzy 88 WFSK. We're Nashville Bill's Jazz Station. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This afternoon, the 411 is with Dr. Tiffany Crutcher. Now, Dr. Crutcher, number one, we just thank you so much for being with us today.
Sharon, well, thank you so much for having me. It's definitely an honor, and I'm just glad to be here, and I have so much to say.
I know you do. See, I'm looking at the clock saying, no, this ain't going to be enough time. Now, let me explain to the audience, because there's three or four areas that, you know, have developed since the initial contact. When I initially contacted Dr. Crutcher, I was just thinking, oh, Black Wall Street Memorial, Tulsa. Okay, so then I start going further into your story and your foundation and what it symbolizes, and then all these headlines pop out, and I am like, well, Lord, you just asked and delivered this woman to me today who has you right in Milwaukee right now, right?
Well, no, not right now. We're galvanizing and gearing up. I've connected with other sisters in the movement, Botham Jones' sister, Tatiana Jefferson, Sandra Bland's sister, and we're just joining forces to see if we can fight this giant that we're facing as a Black community.
Amen.
All over this nation.
Amen. Now, you're, so the audience can catch up on the Terrence Crutcher Foundation. Tell us the backstory and why you founded it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, back in 2016, my twin brother, Terrence Crutcher, was killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the birthplace of Black Wall Street, Greenwood, the Tulsa race riot or massacre, by a white police woman, Betty Jo Shelby, unarmed with his hands up in the air. And, you know, it was like the Tulsa Massacre 2.0. They didn't render him any first aid. She said she had never been so afraid in her life. There were helicopters looming over the scene, excessive force. They said he looked like a bad dude. And I don't know how they could figure out what that looked like from way up in the air. All they could see was the color of his skin. Mm. And fast forward, she was acquitted on all charges. And now she's teaching classes on how to survive a critical incident, the aftermath of a critical incident. And she's teaching classes with the NRA while my family is still fighting for justice, still fighting for police reform in Tulsa, and still fighting for the city to do right by my family and his children.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Tell us a little bit about your twin. How old was he, and how many years has it been?
Well, Terrence and I, when he was shot, we had just turned 40 years old. We're 3 minutes apart. And, you know, it's something special about twins. We really did have that sixth sense, Sharon, you know, when something was wrong with him, because I currently live in Montgomery, Alabama, but this fight for justice actually caused me to take a leave of absence from my clinical practice. I work in rural Alabama, the Black Belt of Alabama, and I felt like this fight needed me more. And so whenever Terrence would have an ache or a pain, I would feel that same pain all the way in Alabama while he was in Tulsa. And the day he was killed, I had this eerie feeling, didn't really have a headache, tummy ache. It was just something wasn't right, and people noticed that out of the clinic. And later that evening, he was dead. But, you know, when it comes to twins, we celebrated every birthday together. My mom and dad got a birthday cake every year up until 40 years old that said, "Happy birthday, Terrence and Tiffany." He loved gospel music. He was a gospel singer. He was in church every Sunday, even through his struggle with addiction. And I don't shy away from that, because millions of Americans, they struggle with addiction. But when it's someone Black, it's criminalized. Well, but when it's, you know, our white counterpart, is a healthcare crisis. But he loved God, and he loved his kids, and he would give you the shirt off of his back, and we miss him so much.
I know that you do. Now, in the midst of all that, and you see what happened in Minneapolis, it was a knee on a neck, and I can't breathe. I'm like, you know what, this, y'all taking us to another place. And then in Central Park in New York, you know, we just can't get a rest from this stuff. It just almost 2 or 3, 4, 10, 15 times a day, we have to hear about these things. And thank God people are videotaping.
Thank God. And a lot of times that doesn't help, but, you know, we've always had evidence, you know what I mean?
Truly.
But, you know, we had the postcards of the lynching, and, you know, right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we have steps to nowhere where there's no houses, just the concrete steps. We've always had evidence, but the law is just applied differently when it comes to Black people. And you just named the litany of occurrences. I mean, we're just trying to get through the last few weeks with Breonna Taylor out of Louisville and Ahmaud Arbery out of Brunswick, Georgia. And then here we go again with these bogus police calls, because, you know, sometimes this white privilege, they know what's going to happen. She knew exactly what was going to happen, because she knows that these police officers and the laws were not designed to protect us. And now here we are with George Floyd. And, you know, my family, we're triggered every single time when we see a video. And, you know, I haven't even saw the video of my brother. And then to get all of these messages of videos and killings, it's compounded trauma, you know. And, like, I didn't sleep last night. I broke out in hives from the stress. And my entire community, they're calling, saying, "Dr. Crutcher, how can we help? It's time. Yeah. It's time." And so I'm happy about that. But our work is not done. We have so much work to do, Sharon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you also, I mentioned earlier that you'll be part of the discussion on the 31st with the ACLU and Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Tell us about that.
Well, we are encroaching the 99th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre. And for those who don't know, please don't feel bad because they didn't teach us in school growing up. I grew up in North Tulsa, went to school on Greenwood, Black Wall Street, and they didn't teach us one iota of this massacre in Oklahoma history. I mean, all we learned about was the Trail of Tears. Mm-hmm. And so this took place May 31st through June 1st, where mobs of white rioters and police officers, they deputized Klansmen, and they came into the black community, one of the wealthiest black communities in the nation. We had our own hotels, doctor's offices, theaters, juke joints. Mm-hmm. I mean, we owned airplanes. We owned things. We were self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And the whites were jealous. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, it goes back to the same old narrative of a guy by the name of Dick Rowland who allegedly attacked a white girl, Sarah Page, in the elevator. And that was all she wrote.
Oh, my goodness.
That was all she wrote. And they burned and leveled our community to the ground. Mm. I mean, shot people with their hands up. They looted. They stole all of our jewelry. Mm. And they bombed us from the air with turpentine bombs.
Oh, my God.
I mean, when you bomb your own country, your own land, that's dangerous. And so we call it one of the worst atrocities on American soil by its own government. Mm, mm. And so we're going to be commemorating the 99th anniversary as we work toward the centennial, the 100 year. And I want for people to understand this is not a celebration. Tulsa, Oklahoma right now is a crime scene.
Right.
No one has been held accountable. No one has been paid reparations. Mm. We still have some survivors left. Yeah. I just restored the home of a 105-year-old lady, Lessie Randall, 105 years old, and we restored her home because the government, the city, has yet to atone for anything. And so we're going to state the case for reparations. We're happy to be working with NARC, the National African American Reparations Commission. Mm-hmm. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee will be a part of it. Mr. Brian Stevenson with the Equal Justice Initiative, who put out the movie Just Mercy. He's partnered with us to build this memorial. And a lot of our local partnerships, African Ancestral Society, Councilor Vanessa Hall Harper, the only black city councilor, Met Cares Foundation, and DeMario Solomon Simmons, and our own Martin Luther King, Dr. Robert Turner, who's the pastor of the historic Vernon AME Church here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So it's going to be amazing, and we want everybody from around the nation to chime in and stand in solidarity, because we're going to have some action steps, and we're going to push the city to do right by our community.
That is just, I mean, the thought of turpentine bombs and, you know, it just, to me, it sounds like savages did this, okay? You know, I know that some people may not see it like that, but who would do something as low down and seriously, it is
wickedness.
It really is. It really, and no atonement whatsoever. No one has ever ever said, "I'm sorry, forgive us," or nothing.
And you know what, Sharon? Mm. All we have to do is change the year. Nothing has changed.
Truly.
We're dealing with our racial terror violence of today.
Truly.
Terrence Crusher, Ahmaud Arbery, Botham John. And they get away with it without consequence. And so my emotions are all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, now the mayor has called to dig up mass graves. Mm. You know, I'm going around collecting soil at the very sites that my ancestors were lynched and killed and stabbed and shot. And we're doing small funerals.
Yeah.
We're memorializing these people because I think it's sinful. In my faith, it's sinful for folks to be dumped in rivers and mass graves left to be forgotten without a proper burial. Mm. And so we're righting that wrong for our ancestors because they're crying out from the soil,
yes,
saying, remember me,
yes,
remember me. Mm. And again, my emotions are all over the place.
No, you're fine. You just go on and say what you need to say. This is historic Fisk University. If you can't say it at HBCU, then something is straight wrong with black folk.
Yeah, you know okay. What? I have on my support black colleges sweatshirt right now because I knew I was going to be on your show.
Well, I'm trying to be real because we have to keep ducking and hiding. I said this some years back because I'm grown. I'm old school. I am done with apologizing for being black.
Yes.
I'm not going through these apology tours. I'm a broadcast professional. I've been on this air more than 40 years.
Wow.
I am not going to say, I ain't really black, y'all. I mean, come on. It's time out. Really, really time. So, you know, whatever you feel on your heart, because you've been through so much, and you stay friends with and stay in touch with so many of the people back in Tulsa and also with the mothers of the murder victims, that the African American.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot, baby. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot to absorb, you know. I'm good friends with Sabrina Trayvon's mom and Mrs. Gwen, Eric Garner's mom, and Leslie, Mike Brown's mom, and you know, I can go on and on and on. I've been a big sister to the other siblings, and we're trying to figure this out. We're carrying the burden, you know. We're trying to fight through pain and trauma, trying to turn pain into purpose and our anger into advocacy and our fear into faith. And it's hard when you're carrying that burden and you're starting foundations with your own money. And then you got the NFL who has this social justice movement, but they haven't reached out to us.
Right.
Who are you fighting for?
Right.
Who are you fighting for? And so it's a lot to absorb and take in, but I made a promise the night that Betty Shelby was acquitted. And I told this world, I told the nation that I would not rest until I reformed Tulsa's police department, until I mitigated mass incarceration in the state of Oklahoma, and until I got to the U.S. Supreme Court to change the laws that give police officers the authority to commit legal murder. And I've been to Capitol Hill twice, and I will be back, and I won't rest.
Yeah.
And so that's where I am, Sharon.
Well, I want to, you know, ask the Lord to continue to strengthen you because, you know, you have so much and so much to help us with, you know, in terms of feeling this on all ends, the historical end in that city that you're from and the history there and all the way down to the present. I mean, that's a lot. But I think I'm grateful for you, Dr. Tiffany Crutcher, today. Your role in dealing with a lot of the relatives of the people who were burned out or killed during the 1921 race massacre in Tulsa. I want you to talk about those interactions and some of the discussions that you had with them, okay?
Absolutely. Well,
We're going to take a quick time out. I'm glad to have you all listening this afternoon to Dr. Tiffany Crutcher. She is the founder of a project there, the Terrence Crutcher Foundation, that she has been talking about her brother who was killed by a Tulsa police officer some years back, about 4 years ago, and continues in the struggle. And she also is working on the Black Wall Street Memorial in Tulsa. You are getting the details on that and so many other things today. Let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Some areas seeing some pretty good rain showers. Right now, it's moving here on 24, even though it's heavy at times. 24 westbound coming past James Robertson Parkway. We got a crash at Harding Place right at I-24. It's on Harding Place. Now, 24 has picked up leaving Nashville, headed out towards Murfreesboro. This traffic report is brought to you by Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. That website, adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's WFSK Artist of the Week is multi-instrumentalist and producer Skinny Hightower. His latest release with 24 tracks is entitled Blue Moon. Don't miss the WFSK Feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in this house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And my guest this afternoon is Dr. Tiffany Crutcher. And Dr. Crutcher, among so many things, is an advocate as well. And she will be sharing more details about the Sunday, March 31st, the public forum, and you all can hear more about that. You know, that's exciting to know, Dr. Crutcher, about the seeking of the reparations for those people in Tulsa. Is that the first attempt to do that?
Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. Back in the, I think, early 2000s, maybe 2001, a group of survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are, well, all of them are gone. They passed away. They went up to D.C. to the U.S. Supreme Court to fight. And, of course, they denied hearing the case. And the mayor here actually said that the statute of limitations were up.
Mm.
And that was by design, Sharon. Mm. I don't know if you remember. They mm-hmm. used to call this the Tulsa Race Riot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, words matter.
Yes.
Words matter. And here recently, I would say within the last 3 years or so, they've started calling it the race massacre.
Yes.
And so when there's a riot, there's a statute of limitation.
Right.
On you know, with insurance policies and if they're going to pay or not. But when there's a massacre, when there's murder,
right,
there's no statute of limitation. And so by design, policies and procedures and ordinances were put in place to erase this from history. They didn't expect for us to bring it back up or talk about it. They did a lot of fear mongering and,
yeah,
and even threatened, if you talk about this, you're going to be lynched. That's why we didn't hear from
really?
from our people. My great grandmother, I'm a descendant of a survivor
mm.
who's no longer living. My great grandmother, Rebecca Brown Crutcher, had to flee Tulsa, Oklahoma in fear of her life.
Wow.
You know, and her community was burned to the ground. So I'm deeply connected to Tulsa and to this story. And so, yes, they attempted, they developed a commission, mm-hmm. a reparations commission,
mm-hmm.
To try to at least provide some atonement and make recommendations. And none of those recommendations have been met at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may have given 1 or 2 years worth of scholarships at $1,000 each. But the city has done nothing.
Mm.
whatsoever. And I think, you know, now since we're encroaching the 100-year anniversary, the mayor wants to dig up mass graves, and they want to do a lot of symbolic historical investigations. But we want reparations, and we want reparations now.
Right.
And okay, and so that's where we are with it. You know, he named the black police chief who doesn't believe that racially biased policing exists. It's just another hollow symbolic gesture. And so that's what we're dealing with in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm. And so those survivors, they went to their graves and they charged us up and they told us, hey, we're going to hand the mantle to you. Mm. We're passing the baton to you. You can't give up. That's what Wes Young said. Mm-hmm. That's what Olivia Hooker told us. Never give up. And right now we're dealing with Mother Leslie Randall, who is still kicking. And she expects for us to fight for her. Mm. And so there's a few other survivors left outside of Tulsa that, mm-hmm. I mean, they've just been reaching out and calling, and we want to make sure that we honor them as well.
Oh, most definitely. So was there ever a final count, you know, with a count that you had from the historical memory of people? And since everybody in the town seems to be in on don't tell nobody, it's terrible. Was there an official count at the end of the day? How many families were impacted?
Well, it depends on whose official count you're talking about, because you know, they want to say that, oh, 10 people died, you know what I mean? Yeah. But we, you know, the there was some reports from the fire department back then that stated that they knew that there were well over 300 plus individuals who pass away, even more. Hmm. And so we just don't have the official count, but we know that it was over 300 plus people. We know that 10,000 plus people were displaced and had to leave Tulsa, not because they wanted to, but as refugees. And we've documented, I know with the work and research of EJI, they've documented actual names of people, because they piled them up on flatbeds and just dumped them in mass graves, and we're hoping that we're going to find, you know, our ancestors and within our memorial. My plan is to bring those remains home and give them a proper burial, so we will have space in the memorial if, you know, it shows that those mass graves are that of our ancestors, which I believe that they are. So we know at least 300 people.
Wow. Now, let me ask this, because just so people that may be just tuning in, tell the audience how this started.
How the massacre started, or
yes, what prompted the massacre in the first
place? Well, if you don't know, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there was a thriving black, wealthy, prominent community. You know, we didn't have to go outside of our community for anything. As a matter of fact, they didn't want us outside, so the money stayed within the community. Mm. We had black doctors. We had black lawyers. We had our own airplanes. We had hotels. Mm. J.B. Stratford Hotel was the nicest hotel in the nation. Dreamland Theater. We had tailor shops. We had black newspapers. We had it all. We had it all. My grandmother owned a barbecue pit, so when you got off the plane, off the train that went right through Greenwood, you could get some of her barbecue. And so whites didn't like that back then. You know, whites didn't like black people having it all. And we had a lot of poor white people who were jealous. And, of course, they found that reason, that narrative, to come and level our community to the ground, allegedly. A black young man by the name of Dick Rowland, a shoeshine operator, went into an elevator, and a young lady by the name of Sarah Page, a white lady, started screaming when the doors opened. Mm. And come to find out, Sharon, the rumor has it that they were dating and that they ran off to Kansas City and got married.
Lord help me, Jesus.
So it was a rumor. It was a rumor. I mean, the cousin of Dick Rowland, one of his extended cousins, she's alive right now to tell about it. Mm. And she wants to get the story straight. Yeah. Eloise Cochran.
Yeah.
And headlines hit. Yeah. Nab Negro. They snatched up Dick Rowland, took him to the courthouse. And, of course, we had a lot of World War One veterans, black yeah. veterans who came home. Hmm. And they gathered up and marched down to the courthouse, downtown Tulsa, and say, we want Dick Rowland back. Hmm. And they had their guns. And, of course, there were a mob of white folks who mm-hmm. came and tried to wrestle mm-hmm. The gun out of one of the soldiers' hands. And mm-hmm. A gunshot went off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And after that, all hell broke loose. Mm. All hell broke loose, and they marched across those railroad tracks at Greenwood and Archer and terrorized our entire beloved community and leveled it to the ground. All that was left was smoke, and all you'll see now when you come to Tulsa are steps to nowhere, concrete steps, mm. but no houses. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see bricks that are still burnt. Wow. Coming out of the ground. You know, they've done a lot of gentrification
yes.
and a lot of construction, and there's been bones and body parts found, and they've tried to cover that up.
Wow.
And that's what we're dealing with, you know, right here in our community. And so that's what happened. A whole community, 40 square blocks mm. leveled to the ground. You know, the military, they came and dropped bombs from the air.
Right.
I mean, you know it's vicious when you drop bombs it's on true. Your own land. That has never happened.
Never.
It only happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, mm. where they bombed their own land mm. because they were jealous of black
jealous.
People.
And this was because we had no rights and couldn't, were not allowed. We had no civil rights. Black folks were not allowed to, you know, it was segregation. And it wasn't like we purposely set out to do that. It was because we had to. We made a way out of no way.
Yes,
oh,
we
wow.
did. And people don't know this. Oklahoma was supposed to be the first all-black state.
Right.
I mean, Oklahoma has more black townships than any other state. And a lot of people migrated uh-huh. from the South and from everywhere because yeah. you know, they got word, man, there's opportunity in Oklahoma.
Right.
You know, we're going to start our own state. And let me just say this about the natives, Americans. They owned us. They owned slaves.
Yes.
You know, yeah. we're Creek freedmen, and we're yeah. fighting for our rights from the tribes.
Wow.
Because we want our, we want our rights.
Yeah.
You know, and so they owned slaves. But now, because we have African American in us or black in us, they don't want to have anything to do with us. So we right. have lawsuits right now up at the Supreme Court waiting mm-hmm. to be heard to fight for our citizenship, mm. to be a part of the tribes, Creek. And I think Cherokee, they actually, the Cherokee freedmen, they won. But now the Creeks, they're not giving us or showing us any love.
Wow.
And so we're dealing with racism on all hands, and yeah. everybody... they've received reparations, even the Native Americans, the Japanese, the Jews.
Right.
But when it comes to black people in this country, we have to fight for every
Everything.
Single crime. We have to fight for humanity.
Yeah, we do. Have to fight for breath.
Yes.
I can't breathe.
Now, I can't breathe.
I mean, that is, if they don't see that as murder, that man... purposely just he killed him like a dog. He just killed him, and there was no struggle, no danger. He just killed him.
He was in handcuffs.
It was,
and he was calling for his mama.
Oh, Lord.
Mama, help me.
Wow.
Mama, help me. My stomach, I can't breathe. 9 whole minutes.
Wow.
Begging for his right to live. 9 whole minutes, and no one was affected, not one of those cops.
Not one.
And we're supposed to sit up here and just take it?
According to some of these people think we are. We're supposed to continue to take it until we're in the grave.
When Sharon, they tell us to comply or die.
Right.
They tell us to follow the rule of law, you know, or you'll live. But then I see... white folks marching to these state capitals with,
yes,
with flags and
long guns
and no mask and spitting in the police officer's face. That's bioterrorism.
Right.
And nothing happens to them. Not following the rules, the shelter-in-place orders or the mask orders. But they get to live because they want a damn haircut. Excuse my French.
That's all right.
Well, and we just want to live.
Well, let me tell you something even more absurd, what our Republican-led legislature has done. When they, as soon as they get back in the session, they're adding even more bills to make it even easier during this pandemic and all these crises that's going on around this country and the world. They got time to add more guns on the streets. I mean, really?
Yes, same here in Oklahoma.
Y'all are too much. Y'all are just way too much. Having something to eat and a job is more important than somebody else going out and buying a gun and shooting another human being. I mean, that, I don't even see how they can put those two priorities together during a pandemic.
During a pandemic.
This is a lot. And before we go, we got a couple of minutes. When I'm sure when you watched this Amy Cooper woman on camera in Central Park pulling the white lady card, you had to just, your brain had to take you immediately to 1921. It just had to.
It did. I mean, I immediately went to Sarah Page and Dick Rowland. Mm-hmm. I immediately went to Emmett Till and the white woman. I immediately went to Terrence Crutcher and Betty Shelby.
Yeah.
And I can go on and on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
I can go on and on and on, and that's why we're building this memorial, because, yeah, as you said, Sharon, this whole forgiveness tour, we can't talk about, yeah, forgiveness. We can't talk about reconciliation without truth, without exposing truth.
Amen.
You just can't have one, mm-mm, without the other, and so it's my duty to right this wrong,
yeah,
and teach future generations and honor,
yeah,
the lives that were lost through this memorial.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to blackwallstreetmemorial.com. Help us build it.
Yes.
We're going to let the people build it. Because Greenwood, now Black Wall Street, spans across state lines because people were displaced all over this country.
Wow.
And everyone needs to have a Black Wall Street in their community.
Yeah,
it's time
do.
For us to start building collective power.
Yeah. Yeah,
and doing this, and so we want for people that we want this wall, this resilience wall,
okay,
to surround the memorial, and we want to see names and names and names of people, you know, in honor of our ancestors' strength and resiliency.
Yeah.
Because they did rebuild.
Yes,
they did rebuild, but then here comes urban renewal.
Yeah.
We call it urban removal.
Yes.
They put a highway, an IDL, right through the middle of our community,
yeah,
and we've never been able to recover. Because guess what? J.B. Stratford Hotel, you know, it's not about money, Sharon, but just think what J.B. Stratford Hotel, his hotel could have been. He could have been Marriott. He could have been the Hyatt. He could have been the Hilton.
Mm.
These people tried to kill our spirit.
Wow.
They killed our potential. And that's what reparations is all about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not just about a monetary payment.
There's no.
You killed our generational,
yeah,
wealth.
There's no check big enough ever to cover that, Dr. Crutcher.
But I see they've given stimulus checks all around this nation to everybody. And you tell me you can't give black people who are the minority, 15% in this country, they're 10 acres, 20 acres and a mule?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, seriously. That is, now, what's the best way for people to give to support the Tulsa
memorial?
Yeah.
You can go to blackwallstreetmemorial.com. There's a donate button, a donate page.
Yeah.
If you just want to donate, if you want to get a brick, right on that front page, you'll see a video. You'll see Mother Randall, the last known living survivor,
uh-huh,
and it will say, "Help us build this memorial." You can get a brick. But if you want to donate,
okay,
you can actually just click donate and help us do this. And we're looking forward to people coming,
yeah,
next year for the centennial, 100 years.
Oh,
we,
wow,
want you in Tulsa.
Okay.
If God permits, if this pandemic blows over,
yeah,
we're going to let people know. We're not going to let people forget what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay. Will you please keep me posted, because that is exactly how I found out about this, and I'm just so thankful, Tiffany, to have this opportunity to talk with you, and you know that you're in my thoughts and my prayers always.
Absolutely.
And keep us, keep us posted, well, and you know, let the audience know whatever you got coming or anything like that. Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This has been an honor. I'm so grateful when I have the opportunity to share on Black platforms.
Yes,
it just really makes my day, and it's just good to know that we have a community of angels all over this nation.
Oh, yes.
You know, praying and thinking about us. So thank you, Ms. Sharon.
Absolutely, absolutely. We thank you so much, and we'll be in touch, and just know, you know, we're definitely keeping you in our thoughts and our prayers, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless
Take
you.
Care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Tiffany Crutcher. Wow, y'all. Straight out the headlines. Wow. All right, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.